QJFM 95.4.
Dynamically shaping
the future. QJFM 95.4. Yes, we do have an app, so go onto your app stores right now and download our app stores. That way you'll never, ever, ever be inconvenienced. More music coming your way. I see Nicki Minaj alongside Ice Spice. Yes, we still do have the Bobby World song, and we are going to play it. Thank you very much.
Definitely.
And literally. Boys a Liar, I see Christian French with Lonely. More of these and more coming through. Right now, though, we do have Dr. Lucia Munongi in studio, and we're speaking all things neurodevelopmental disorders, undertitles, there's a lot of decoding here.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be speaking of rights. We're going to touch on rights. We're going to touch on research relating to rights of children with neurodiversity. A lot of things are going to be said. On that note of rights, Doctor, what are children's rights in this context?
Children's rights are basic human rights.
Mm-hmm.
And just like any human right, human beings have got rights, children also have rights.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it doesn't just end there. It's entitlements. We can actually call them entitlements that children are born with, and no one can take them away from you. And mm-hmm. that's why we classify them as entitlements. And we also talk of children's rights as freedoms that they are born with from birth to death.
Yeah.
And they are given these freedoms just by virtue of being human beings. So we cannot say just because they are children, then they don't have rights.
Mm-hmm.
But they have because they are human beings.
Yeah.
And they are concerned with equality and fairness. So when we look at children and we think of children's rights, we must actually think of fairness. And we must think of treating them equally, just like we would do adults.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we are looking at different legal documents, both local and international, that actually inform these rights for children. So it's not something that we just wake up one day and we just say, children have got these rights.
Yeah.
We have got guiding principles as well. And I think the most ratified document in the world is the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Children.
Yeah.
And that's where we draw these rights that we accord to children. And we have got 54 articles in this legal document. But we also know we have got our constitution in South Africa, which has got the Bill of Rights for Children.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe just to summarize what these rights are, we have got the four guiding principles. So we talk of the first one, is the non-discrimination. So whenever we talk of children's rights, we are saying children should not be discriminated based on any differences that they may have, people may use to label them.
Exactly.
Right. And we are also talking of the best interest of the child.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever we do, we have to consider the best interest of the child.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes as adults, we want to pursue our own interests. But we have to remember that children have got interests and they have to be protected by their rights. And the third one, we have got the right to survival and development. And this one ensures that we bring up children who are fully developed. We are talking of psychological, mm-hmm. social, spiritual, and everything that you can think of in terms of developing a child.
Yeah.
And lastly, we have got the view of the child, probably the most controversial one.
Definitely.
Where you know, adults look down upon children and they think they don't have a view.
Mm-hmm.
But we also need to give them a view. We also need to allow them to express how they feel, what they think, especially in matters that concern them.
Doctor, I know right now a parent just sat upright. I know right now there's one parent somewhere who was slanting.
Yeah.
Their position of seating was on a slant, on an angle. And then immediately when you spoke of the one that's controversial, they literally stood upright. And I know that you're ready to speak on it. Now hit us up and let us know what you think about it. So at 0817255228, we do go on to news with Olondi. On the other side, we continue with Doctor.
Broadcasting the sounds of the campus for the campus. UJFM, dynamically shaping the future.
Bring us exactly 36 minutes after the hour, 2 o'clock. It's UJFM, and we are still chilling with our favorite doctor. Yes, from our favorite center, Neurodiversity Center, Dr. Lucia Munongi. And what about now? I really need us to kind of specify these rights. Now, I want us to go in. What rights do children with neurodiversity have?
Okay, same as everyone. So because children with neurodiversity are human beings, they are children, and by virtue of them being human beings, then they deserve all the rights like everyone else. They shouldn't be treated less than others just because of those disabilities. Come to think of it, I think we all have disabilities.
Yeah.
The fact that they're not visible or they have not been diagnosed or they are inward, intrinsic, does not make us become at an advantage than these children who probably some of them have got visible disabilities. So the fact that they are human beings makes them to deserve all the rights that I have mentioned and that I have defined before. So unfortunately, society tends to classify them and see them as people who are not deserving of certain rights because of their disabilities.
Yeah.
But they deserve all the rights. And you can think of some things that are really shocking. For example, I was reading an article just recently, and I found that some of the rights, for example, the right to reproduction, in some countries, these children are denied those rights. So for example, I read that the last state in America to actually pass forced sterilization laws in America, it happened in 2019, which is so recent. You would think that these are things that used to happen during the period of eugenics, you know, when white people felt that they were more superior than other races. And through eugenics, we found that also children or people with disabilities were discriminated, and some of them were forced to sterilize so that they cannot reproduce.
Sure.
And these things are still happening in this day and age. So we cannot do that because children with neurodiversity are children and they deserve to be accorded all the rights.
That's so important.
It is important. Yeah. So, Doc, what does research say about children with neurodiversity in relation to their rights?
Right. In terms of research, a number of studies that have been done in South Africa as well as in other countries shows that people still do not know about neurodiversity. I can just say some people, which is quite a number of them actually, majority, still think that being disabled or being neurodivergent, it's a curse, you have been bewitched, or we also have some people who might think that it's a blame game. When a child with neurodiversity is born in a family, it is blamed on the mother. And
that's true.
And research has shown that there is dearth of knowledge amongst the general public about these disabilities. And as a result, the rights of children with neurodiversity or with disabilities in general continue to be violated. Very sad.
It is very
because
sad.
Because in this day and age, it is a time when we need to be protecting their rights. Yet because of lack of knowledge, we end up being perpetrators. And research also shows that the main perpetrators are those closest to these children. It can be their friends, maybe family members, and in some cases, those who are breadwinners, those who are supposed to be protecting them, right? The uncles, the aunties, right? And it also can be the general public or even people in authority. There are also cases of police that have arrested these people because they have misunderstood probably the way they have behaved in public and they end up being arrested unlawfully. And recent research, actually current research, I have a student who was doing a master's in inclusive education, Mr. Kelvin Uje. He carried out a study in one of the local townships in Gauteng, and it was done in a mainstream school where children with disabilities, including neurodiversity, are accommodated. And the stories that came out of that are very sad. The voices of children expressing that they feel that they are being discriminated, they are being isolated because of their disabilities. And you find that Who is isolating them? It's their peers. It's their, even their teachers. Yeah. And the sad part of it is some of them are aware of their rights. And they try to probably lodge a complaint or to report that, oh, I feel that my rights are being discriminated here, or I'm not getting what I'm supposed to be getting based on my disability. And what happens? Nothing is done about it. And it's also very sad. So lack of knowledge is very evident in research. And also, children with disabilities are not given a voice. They are seen as incapable of doing things that what we refer to as normal children can do.
Mm.
But what does history tell us? Some of the most prominent people in society have got these disabilities. I can just point out one which is of most interest to me. One of the greatest scientists, Albert Einstein.
Mm.
You know,
really?
When you read about his history, there's a lot of literature that talk about him being diagnosed with probably four or even more of these disabilities.
Wow.
Yet he was one of the greatest scientists.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah, it is quite sad. It's very sad, especially that you're also giving examples of real stories that actually happen, and kids that have neurodiversity speaking up and saying these are the kind of things that are happening.
Mm.
And it's so sad because I also heard of a story that happened very much recent here by Randburg, a school actually for those, they say it's, I'm not going to mention the school, but it's for kids with certain disorders, right?
Mm.
And unfortunately there's been some allegations that have to do with rape.
Mm.
Yeah, so I don't know what happened there, but you can see that there's still a lot of violation that's still taking place. Now, what steps should we take in order for us to completely cancel this?
Right. So what you have just mentioned here of rape cases amongst children with neurodiversity is very common because people tend to take advantage of them.
Yes.
Remember, some of these disabilities also can affect their verbal communication and people take advantage because they know even if they violate them, they are not going to be able to communicate what has happened to them. So in that case where rights of these children have been violated, we have to report. We are the custodians of their rights.
Definitely.
And if they cannot do it themselves, whether you are just an observer, a passerby, or whatever, you have the responsibility to report this.
Mm.
And you can report this to different places. Mm. It can be the police, depending on what really is happening. It can also be to responsible adults. So, for example, there are also children. We encourage children to take agency, to report also on behalf of their peers as well. So they can approach a responsible adult. It can be a parent. It can be a teacher, maybe at school.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, like what I said, some of the teachers are the ones that are violating.
Yes.
But it's not all of them.
Mm.
So there is always that teacher that children can go to. There is always that adult that children can go to and report these things. And sometimes also you can approach social workers depending on how visible they are in our society.
Mm.
And I think they need to be really visible.
Definitely.
So that people can just go to them and report such cases. Human rights groups as well, they are also open to handle such cases. And I think it is common knowledge that we have to teach our children about Childline, where they can just dial that number and report.
Mm.
But basically, as adults, we are responsible for protecting the rights of children and reporting them.
Yeah, yes. That is absolutely true. And I think the most unfortunate part of it all is that we're speaking of everyone, including people that are just passing and they're experiencing or seeing what those that have neurodiversity disorders are experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
The most unfortunate part of that is that a lot of us don't have the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, which leads me to my next question. What can we do, those of us that know what are neurodiversity disorders, what can we do to promote the rights of neurodiversity?
Right. I think the shortest response here is education for all.
Yeah. Mm.
We really need to take steps and take the knowledge of neurodiversity out there and educate people, firstly, what are neurodiversity, and secondly, what rights do these children have, and thirdly, how can we promote this? How can we protect the rights of these children? So we need to take that systemic approach when we educate people. We start from the grassroots, from the child family, which is closest to this child. And you know what? When we start with that nucleus, they will be able to also act as agents to educate the wider society. Mm. So we cannot try and probably come on air and educate the country, the world about these things. Mm-hmm. Yet the very people that are living with these children are not educated on it.
Exactly.
You know, you find that even some parents do not even understand the disabilities that their children have.
Mm.
Some of them have also been made to believe that their children have been bewitched.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, they cannot also advocate for their children's rights.
That's true.
So we need to start from the family, into the community, into the wider society.
Yeah.
And also another thing that we need to do to promote children's rights is a change of culture and societal beliefs.
For sure.
Our society still holds some beliefs that children with disabilities are not as equal as other children.
Yeah.
So we really need to change that mindset. We need to educate our people, right? And also, this education cannot just happen. We need the support of the state.
Mm-hmm.
We need a state budget.
Definitely.
For such campaigns, for such awareness. Because these things need money, right? And sometimes, you know, people might have great ideas of educating society, but they don't have these resources. So we need even the business community, independent organizations that can come in as sponsors. So you see, for example, our center at UJ, at Soweto campus.
Sure.
We have got sponsors, and we are still looking out for sponsors.
Please.
We are still inviting more to come.
Yeah.
Because there is a lot that has to be done. And, you know, one of the things that we are targeting is to go out into the community. Like, we don't want the community to come to us because some of them don't even know us right now.
Yes.
Right? So we need to be proactive and go into society. So all that, we need manpower, we will need finances, and we will need sponsors who are willing to journey with us and make sure that we educate the society. So finances, yes, ching-ching is needed for that.
Yes,
yes, it's needed to sponsor such outreaches. Mm. And I think we are so thankful for this initiative and for those who have already chipped in, and we still welcome more sponsors so that our people can be educated.
And that is that.
Yeah.
Super, super important. Education continues to be the key. It
always
does continue to be the key. Thank you so much, Dr. Lucia Munongi. We thank you greatly for blessing us with your presence today and really educating us.
My pleasure.
Absolutely eye-opening. Learned a lot. Let's continue the conversation on our social media platforms.
UJFM 95.4.
Dynamically shaping the future.